Happy New Comic Book Day, nerds. That's right, Wednesday, new comic books are hitting the shelves today. Let me start your nerdy news here real quick, like. Get this over with so you can run to your local comic shop and pick up your comics. Okay, another 1980s, 90s? It's the 90s. Another 1990s show they're going to reboot, Designing Women. I hate to admit it, but I did watch this show. It was about a interior design firm in somewhere in Georgia, Atlanta, someplace. I had Delta Burke, Annie Potts, created by Linda Bloodworth Thomason. It was an entertaining show. I enjoyed it. The original writer, Linda Bloodworth Thomason, is writing this reboot. It hasn't been picked up by anybody yet. She hasn't put it out there, but I'm sure as soon as she does, some of the networks are going to start clamoring to get a part of it. I no word whether they're going to have cameos from the original cast. A couple of them actually have passed away since then. I think Meshach Taylor and the one who played lead, Dixie Carter, I believe they both have passed away since then, but the others are still around, so it's possible they'll make cameos. We can only wait and see who gets picked up by. If it gets picked up, there's always a chance it won't. Quentin Tarantino is working on a movie called Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, loosely based on the true events that happened with the Sharon Tate murders, you know, with when they got murdered there in Hollywood as part of the Charlie Manson gang. They have cast Mike Mo as Bruce Lee. So Bruce Lee will make an appearance in this movie by Quentin Tarantino. And the usual cast of his friends are in this movie. We're going to have, among others, Burt Reynolds, Tim Oliphant, Michael Madsen, which you'll remember has been a lot of stuff, Tim Roth, Damian Lewis, Luke Perry, haven't seen, well, I guess he was in Riverdale, Emil Hirsch, Dakota Fanning, Clifton Collins, Keith Jefferson, Nicholas Hammond, James Marsden, Julia Butters, and Scott McNary. Like I said, set during the summer of 69, kind of telling the story of what happened during that summer with the Manson gang murdering those people, Sharon Tate being one of them. This is slated to be released August 9th of 2019, so about a year from now, you'll be able to see the newest Tarantino film, which will have Bruce Lee and Charlie Manson. Whoever thought you'd get both those guys in one movie, right? Netflix has a new animated adventure coming up called Next Gen, based on the original comic book 7723. This is a super secret robot somehow befriends this lonely little girl, and she uses it to take care of bullies and what have you. Supposedly, the bidding on this project was pretty high. Netflix won out. The preview I've seen of it, the little trailer, it looks really cute. Anytime you have a kid befriending a robot, that's box office gold. So look for Next Gen on Netflix. No day. Oh, there we go. September 7th. So that will be on Netflix September 7th for you, your viewing pleasure. Who doesn't like a robot and a kid? Speaking of things you should like, Danny McBride. That guy, he's one of my favorite actors. He does comedy really well. Actually does drama pretty well. I kind of liked him in Alien Covenant. He is going to be in a new movie called Arizona. It's a dark comedy set in the housing crisis of 2009. A realtor is going through some problems because of the bubble burst with the housing. Danny McBride's character is disgruntled about something. I'm not sure what. But he comes in to confront the real estate company. He ends up kidnapping one of the workers there. And it's basically, He goes from one bad situation to the next, just making every possible bad decision you could make. This is going to be out in theaters August 24th, so later this month. You'll get to see Danny McBride. He was great in Vice Principals. I loved him in Foot Fist Way. He was great in Alien Covenant. This should be no different. It should be just as good as other things he's done. He brings a certain... He has a likability you don't get from other characters. Let's jump over into tabletop gaming. We haven't talked a lot about tabletop gaming. Gale Force 9 they have won the gaming rights for Dune, Frank Herbert's Dune. Anything in that Dune universe, they are licensed to make a game for it. They already have plans for quite a few games coming out from Dune. The miniatures market right now is really big. They're going to be making, like I said, tabletop games and anything in the Dune universe is open to them. So expect to see the big worms and the worm riders, all the cool stuff from the book. This is slated to come out fall of 2020. If I were a betting man, I would say it's going to come out shortly before the new Dune movie that Villeneuve is doing, which comes out in late 2020. That'd be a perfect lead-in. Great marketing if they jump on that. One of the cons that I have not been to yet that I really want to go to, Dragon Con. That's just, from what I understand, a huge party in downtown Atlanta over Labor Day weekend is coming up. One cool thing they're doing this year, the Jim Henson Creature Shop Challenge will be live at Dragon Con. They're going to, if you can go on the Dragon Con website and see all the rules and regs of how you can jump in on this if you're a creature creator, or if you just want to go and watch. It would be amazing to watch these guys build all these creatures and be judged live at Dragon Con, which is known for its cosplay and creature creation. All the creations will be prejudged on Friday, August 31st at 2:30 at the Atlanta Marriott Marquis. Then at 4, the challenge will begin in the Marriott Atrium Ballroom. They are going to be broadcasting it on DCTV, which I believe is Dragon Con TV. You can go to DragonCon.tv and probably stream it and watch the challenge if you are not able to go to Dragon Con. I plan on going one year, just not this year. Dragon Con will be August 30th through September 3rd. That's, a long weekend there. All kinds of cool things happen at Dragon Con. And now they just added another one with the Jim Henson Creature Challenge. Okay, we reported a few days back about Hasbro has purchased all licensing for Power Rangers. Well, they're not wasting time. They now have a National Power Rangers Day, it was announced. The 25th anniversary of the franchise is this year, and they're going to start the National Power Rangers Day, August 28th. Right now, the only plans I see is for them to do a big push through social media, using their hashtag and National Power Rangers Day, posting photos of you and your Power Rangers gear and what have you. I'm sure if not this year, it will become bigger in years to come. This is just the first, I'm sure, of many. Hasbro backs their products pretty well. We'll also be getting this year for 25th anniversary, the Power Rangers Super Ninja Steel episode going to kick off in prime time. And if I'm not mistaken, Jason David Frank had something to do with the Super Ninja Steel, one of the more popular Power Rangers from the original series. So, like I said, August 28th, at 8 p.m., they're going to air the Super Ninja Steel episode. But all day that day, you can use the hashtag National Power Rangers Day to post and your pictures of you in your Power Rangers gear and let everybody know that you're a big Power Rangers fan. Also, in tabletop gaming, we got a few tabletop gaming things today. Fantasy Flight is they've got a new way of gaming. They're calling it the unique games model. They tried it already. Well, not tried. They are doing it already with KeyForge, which is, I believe it was invented, or not invented, it was developed by Richard Garfield, who gave you Magic the Gathering. This is, KeyForge is similar to Magic the Gathering, except every deck will be unique. You can't mix and match. Supposedly, you can't mix and match these decks. Each one is unique. If you get tired of that gameplay, you've got to buy another deck and play that one. It gives you, every game will be unique in that way. Everybody who buys KeyForge won't get the same game. Every deck is very unique. Well, they're doing the same thing with their newest game called Discover Lands Unknown. Everything, this game is a multiple scenario game where you have to escape your captors, evade bad people, find food, and other survival things. Everything from the pool survivors that you can control to the scenarios are randomized. Everything is different in this game. Each game is different. So if you buy it, you know, the copy you buy might be more focused toward just the survival aspect. Your friend might buy the same, you know, Discover Lands Unknown, same time as you. His might be focused on evading captors or anything in between. There's just so many different ways they can do this. I guess they're calling them unique games. So every game will be different. You won't get people who memorize or go online and find the best way to beat a game and try to be that guy at game night that just all he cares about is winning and not having fun with the game. Well, this unique games kind of takes that away from them. Games, more games, video games this time. The popular online game Fortnite, PUBG, they have a Save the World update which added a new hero and the weekly Horde Challenge. This new hero is kind of Viking-inspired. It's Machinist Thora. Got the shaved sides of the head, you know, kind of mohawk with a ponytail hanging off. Looks pretty badass, so great new character. They've added, you know, they've tweaked the rocket launchers. They added Save the World mode, of course, which is what the update was named. And they revamped the weekly Horde Challenge and fixed a couple of bugs that were discovered. So if you're a big Fortnite player, I've played it a few times. I'm not very good. I have never done better than, I think, 15th or 16th. I typically get blindsided by somebody and then get to watch them dancing over my corpse. So if you like Fortnite, the new Save the World update is there. You can get a new character, and they've tweaked all the fixes. Oh, time-displaced X-Men characters. They thought this was going to be a good idea back with All New, All Different. They brought in the original X-Men characters into present time. I don't like the time-displaced characters. Thankfully, Extermination is going to be taking care of that. All the time-displaced characters should be gone at the end of Extermination. It's already claimed, spoilers if you don't want to hear this, Extermination number one's already got its first major casualty, if you haven't been watching it. This hooded character is tracking everybody down. He finally pins down Iceman and Cable. Okay, he incapacitates Iceman and he gets Cable. Cable's whooping him for a little while, but then he gets the upper hand somehow, and he unceremoniously just kills Cable. Tells him he's relieved of duty. So the old man Cable is no more. But then the hooded figure unhoods himself and it's just a younger version of Cable. So yeah, Cable, he killed himself. Weird. So anyway, Extermination should be taking care of all those time-displaced characters who haven't been very popular. Bad idea, Marvel. I don't know why you did it. Anytime time travel and time display stuff is old, please stop using it. That's just like using the clones. Stop using clones. My Hero Academia, another anime, very popular anime about the world of heroes. It is getting a live, or I'm sorry, a new animation. It's called My Hero Academia: Two Heroes. It's coming out in the U.S. in a couple of months. I've watched a few episodes. I haven't completely caught up with My Hero Academia. Looks pretty good. As far as animes go, I'm not big on animes, but this one's not bad. He's going to if they see it, August it premiered in Japan August 3rd, made about 5 million. Not bad for a anime. It comes out in the U.S. later. My Hero Academia: Two Heroes debut in North America in 400 theaters. The screenings will be held end of September, 25th, 26th, 27th, 29th, and October 2nd. More details are on the My Hero Academia website. I think I might just wait and borrow this Blu-ray from someone. Like I said, it's not a bad anime. I don't know if I want to go to the theater to watch it. Flash Season 5 is going to. We've already been told we're getting Cicada, played by Chris Klein from American Pie. If you remember him, he was the athletic one. They're getting another villain. This villain will be Ragdoll. So far, they've only confirmed Ragdoll for one episode. Ragdoll started as a guy named Peter Merkle, who they say was triple jointed. That's his power. He used to work at the circus, the sideshow, as a carnival performer. He can fold himself up into small little areas, and he used that to become a petty thief. His son, Peter Merkle Jr., came out as a darker version of that same Ragdoll character. I don't find that to be a superpower, but hey, why not? He will be in the new season of Flash Season 5, which returns October 9th at 8 p.m. Tuesday, CW. Flash, hugely popular show for CW. They've been killing it with their superhero shows. Let's hope Ragdoll's not a cheesy character. Okay, one of my favorite non-superhero type movies, John Wick. The first two movies were so incredibly action-filled. I typically don't like Keanu Reeves as an actor, but dude, he was born for this role. I can't picture anyone else as John Wick, and he devotes so much training to this. I mean, a lot of those stuff he does himself. It's not stunt doubles. Amazing. And then later, I found out that he's just like the nicest guy in Hollywood. They have all these hidden videos where he's given up his seat on the train for people, and all this stuff. He's big into donating charity. It makes it really hard not to like the guy. Plus, they're going to make another Bill and Ted, so I'm warming up to Keanu Reeves, but I absolutely love him as John Wick. This third one, John Wick Parabellum. You're going to see some of the old characters like Ian McShane's Winston, who runs the Continental Hotel, the safe haven for assassins. Since the things that happened in John Wick 2, he crossed the line of the Continental's rules, so now they have a hit out on him. He will probably be helped by Lawrence Fishburne's character, the Bowery King, who runs a big consortium of homeless assassins in New York. Yeah, really weird. Great movies. You need to watch them if you haven't. And like, is Ian McShane just chews up the freaking scenery when he's in a movie. Lawrence Fishburne, same thing. Is that those are two very, very iconic actors who just demand the screen. You're also going to get some other big names like Ruby Rose, Common, Halle Berry, Angelica Houston, so many people in this new John Wick, which we have to wait until May 17th of 2019 to see. Supposedly they were developing a John Wick related TV show based on the hotel. It's supposedly an international hotel chain for assassins. I haven't seen much about that since they first announced. It's a great concept. I'd love to see it. But in the meantime, we're probably going to get the John Wick Parabellum first in 2019. Star Trek Discovery, even though it's on CBS All Access, which is a subscriber pay channel, it still did really well enough that they've renewed it for season two. They have cast the person they're going to have be Spock. It's going to be Ethan Peck. So he, little connection here, he is the grandson or great-grandson of actor Gregory Peck. Gregory Peck was a huge actor back in his day. So we will be seeing him. He'll be, what, the third person to portray Spock behind Nimoy and Quinto? He's got the look. I've never seen any of the movies he's been in, but supposedly the casting people just absolutely fell in love with him. So let's see if he brings anything new to Spock when Star Trek Discovery Season 2 comes back in 2019. Will be interesting. There's going to be a lot of Star Trek for people coming up. We reported a couple days ago also about Dora the Explorer and how, for some reason, Michael Bay's name was attached to the movie. Okay, Michael Bay, his representatives, they don't even know how his name got attached to it. Him and his company is in no way attached to this. So him, Platinum Dunes Production Company, not attached to Dora the Explorer. Not sure where that started or how it started. But we don't have to worry about Dora making friends with big robots and explosions going on all around. It's just going to be a live-action Dora the Explorer. August 2nd of 2019. Okay, iconic Spider-Man villain, Kraven the Hunter. This probably isn't canon because it's in Squirrel Girl. If you ever read Squirrel Girl, it's kind of an alternate universe type thing. In her world, she's kind of single-handedly beat every major villain out there, from Doctor Doom to Galactus, you name it, she's beat them. And now she's kind of friends with Kraven the Hunter. And he, of course, he's got this hard-on for Spider-Man, so he's always trying to catch Spider-Man, and she finally gets to him to talk to him, and lets him know that she knows there's a hero inside him and that he should embrace that inner hero. Well, he does and starts fighting crime, and his name is the Unhuntable Sergei. Yeah, it says that's his superhero persona. Like I said, not canon. Thank goodness. It's just a little tongue-in-cheek thing with Squirrel Girl. Might be good to read it just for a laugh. Just thank goodness it's not canon. Runaways, Season 2 on Hulu. We have the debut date, and it's going to be December 21st on Hulu. Hulu is not going to do it like they've been doing, releasing it one episode at a time weekly. They decided to go the Netflix route and just release all 13 episodes at once so you can binge them. Thank you, Hulu. I have a hard time remembering what happened from week to week. When I have to wait to see the next episode, being able to binge them makes it easier to keep clear in my mind and follow the timeline. So thank you, Netflix, for starting the marathon binging thing, and thank you, Hulu, for jumping on ship. Zenoscope. You probably, they do like the, it's the comic book that likes to do a lot of fairy tale inspired stories with strong female leads. That being said, their female leads don't like to wear a lot of clothes either. So we get scantily clad women all over the covers and through the artwork. The bad thing is the stories are actually pretty good. They are very good at writing these stories. Just they're trying to use the TNA, it looks like, to sell the books a lot. I have mixed feelings about that. Anyway, Zenoscope is having their first ever VIP comic festival in Philadelphia over the weekend of August 24th to 25th. This is open to anyone who is a Zenoscope VIP. The program, it's a lifetime membership for their most loyal fans. I believe it's like $99 to $100 or something. You can become a lifetime VIP, and now you will get invited to these VIP Zenoscope festivals, where you're going to be able to meet all the artists and the creators, the co-founders, Joe Brucia and Ralph Tedesco. I'm sure there'll be lots of signings. This one, they're kicking it off on Friday. They're taking everybody out to see the movie Slender Man with the co-founders of Zenoscope. And, then they're going to have all kinds of other stuff on Saturdays and Sundays. I believe this is the first time they've done this. You can go to their website, become a VIP, and then go to the VIP con there in Philadelphia. And if you get bored there, Philadelphia is not far from New York. You can cross over and go see something in New York. Fantastic Four. They are back. Reed Richards and Sue Storm and the kids, Franklin and Valeria, they're all back. And they're trying to put the band back together, with Johnny and the thing. They go back to the Baxter Building and find out that it has new tenants. Yeah. There's a group in there called the Fantastics with an X. The solicitation of this picture, it looked really familiar, so I did a little research. These are the characters, used to be the Libertines, which is part of the 50 State Initiative. They'd had back when every state had its own superhero group that was like the police force for that state. Well, these guys were the Pennsylvania 50 State Initiative. It looks like they have 2D, who is kind of a flat man looking ripoff. Hope, who can make her skin is as hard as diamonds. It's a play on words, Hope Diamond. Miss America and Iceberg. So if you were a fan of the 50 State Initiative, specifically the Philadelphia group, they are now the Fantastics, and they've taken up residence in the Baxter Building. Yep. They also say in Fantastic Four number 5 is going to be double. Marvel's doing new numbering and legacy numbering together, so it's going to be Fantastic Four number 5 with legacy numbering of 650. They're trying to have the best of both worlds. I'm not sure if I agree with that. I just go with the legacy numbering and leave it. But they like the low numbered stuff because number ones seem to sell better. People have it in their mind that that's a good jumping on point. This will also feature a wedding. Yeah, everybody's getting married, it seems like. This one's going to be Ben Grimm and Alicia Masters. Let's hope that they actually get married, not like Batman and Catwoman. Let's hope it's not a bait and switch like they did with Colossus and Kitty Pryde. Let's see an actual marriage of the two people that you're soliciting are going to get married. How about that? So, yeah, Fantastic Four number 5, you're going to see all that stuff. The new Fantastics team, we don't know if it's going to be if they're going to be adversarial to the Fantastic Four or they're actually going to help them. Find out in number 5. Wildstorm is going to go on hiatus. What does that mean? That means they're taking a break. After number 18, they will take a couple months off. They're planning to return in 2019. Warren Ellis has said he needs that so he can get caught up on the writing. So the monthlies will be a lot smoother. It won't be up against a lot of deadlines. He'll kind of have some stuff in the bank ahead of time. That being said, the sister series, The Wildstorm, Michael Kray, they're just going to end it. October no, with number 12 will be the last Michael Kray comic book from this reiteration. They are working on more stuff from Wildstorm, though. Wildcats and Zealot is in development, and Ellis is working on that. So with Ellis working on all of it, it should be a pretty tightly woven story. We don't have to worry about separate writers not being on the same page. Wildstorm 18 comes out October 17th. Then they're taking a couple months off, which will push it into 2019 for number 19. So, like I said, Wildstorm, they're taking a little vacation to get caught up and maybe a little bit ahead. We will see it back, and hopefully by the time it comes back, Wildcats and Zealot will be also ready. Okay, that is all I have for you on this new comic book day Wednesday. Run to your local comic shop and pick up your favorite titles off of the shelf. As always, subscribe. Please subscribe to this YouTube channel. like this video, leave a comment, tell us what you think about this news that's going on. If you don't like video, or you just don't have time to pay attention to video, go to talknerdypodcast.com and you can download this and have me all up in your ear hole. You can also go to iTunes and subscribe to us on iTunes. And leave, if you do that, hey, you're already there. Leave us a good rating also. That's all I have for you guys today. As always, later, nerds.